It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, an effort to confront economic challenges facing the state's northern counties.
But first, Tony Award-winning actress and singer Kristen Chenoweth is coming to Wisconsin this weekend. She'll be performing at Madison's Overture Center this Sunday, October 4th.
Chenoweth has a couple of Tony Awards to her name, including one for her role as Glinda the Good Witch in the Broadway musical Wicked. She's been a regular on the TV show Glee and won an Emmy Award for acting on the show Pushing Daisies.
This Sunday, she'll be joined by Wisconsin high school students from Overture's Tommy Ensemble.
She joins us now. Kristen Chenoweth, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
You started out in opera, a scholarship from the Metropolitan Opera auditions, a lot going on there, and then you went into musical theater. What led you to make that big switch?
Well, I went sort of on a haphazard audition in New York with my best friend just to see what it was like, and I was supposed to be in Philadelphia starting Academy of Vocal Arts Conservatory, and a couple weeks before the program, I went in and auditioned for a show in New York, and ended up getting the part and had a decision to make. And I really thought a lot about it, and everything I've ever approached, any role I've ever done, has always been about the role and the acting and the character of it. And I just felt like that was my first love. And I was also a dancer, and I just, I'd always wanted to be on Broadway, but I'd had success in other areas, and I just followed my heart, and I moved to New York, and I didn't have an agent or anything. I just went in there, and my dad negotiated my contract because I didn't have anybody to do it, and then through that show and those reviews, I got an agent, and looking back now, I know that that's just extremely luck, talent, blessed, right place at the right time, all of it comes together. If you tried to do that again, I don't know if you could.
Well, I'm not a singer myself, but as I understand it, singing opera is kind of different than singing musical theater. You need to, like, belt it out there on Broadway. Was that a tough transition?
Well, my teacher had always taught me to be able... She just really wanted me to use my voice at every level. And really, it's like ballet. Ballet is the basis of any good dance. If you have ballet training, it's going to help you do modern, it's going to help you do tap, it's going to help you do what choreographers ask of you, and that's the way, when you train legit, how I view it. It's the same. You know, if you use your voice correctly and take care of it and be healthy about it, it will let you do a lot of different things, and my voice does lend itself to a lot of different genres, and, you know, I have enjoyed that part of my voice and my career.
Let's talk about taking care of that voice. You're the kind of soprano who sings really, really high notes, as I understand it. It's not easy for people to maintain that range. How do you do it?
Oh, goodness. Well, I try to avoid alcohol and smoking. I live a very, very exciting life, Rob. Very exciting. I try to get lots of sleep. That's probably my biggest blunder. I don't have good sleep patterns, but I try to rest. And I try to take care, and I sing every day. Even if it's in the shower, just scales, I sing every day. It's a muscle that you got to use. So you don't use it, you lose it. Also, I'm constantly working, which I'm really thankful for, and that keeps me in shape. So what's tricky is trying to figure out when you're going to let loose. You know what I mean? You've got to do that because you got to live your life. But being on sort of having... tour dates, like three here, four there, two here. It's an interesting place to be. Whereas when you're on a movie set, you see the light at the end of the tunnel. I have dates scheduled for a year. So I just have to live a very healthy life. And I don't mind it. I love it. I love what I do. I feel lucky to get to do it. And, you know, that's what I do.
So you take the rock and roll lifestyle and do exactly the opposite.
Exactly. Exactly. And when I come to your area, I really am praying for warmer weather than cold. I've actually never played Wisconsin. And when I was a freshman at OCU, I had a University of Wisconsin boyfriend. Can you believe that?
Mm.
He played soccer. And he was so used to, we had met in Oklahoma, believe it or not, and obviously it didn't last long because we both couldn't afford to go see each other, but he would always talk about how the cold was good for you, and I always thought, is it? But then again, I'm from Oklahoma, so what do you expect?
Well, let's visit Oklahoma. You were a big part of creating a world-class performing arts center in your hometown, a Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. You've done a lot for arts and education there. Why was this important to you to do?
Well, you know, you go along in your life and you think, how do you want to be remembered? And there's this song I sing at the end of my concert called I Was Here. It's about leaving your mark. And it's sort of become an anthem, and it's a reminder to me of how do you want to, well, one of the ways I want to do it is inspire young people to follow their dream. And one of the ways we're doing that is at the Broken Arrow Performing Arts Center, which I didn't have then growing up. They built a beautiful facility and a gorgeous theater that now probably holds about 1,400 seats. And that's where the Broadway shows tour. And I couldn't be prouder of it. And they actually named it the Chenoweth Theater. And when I saw that sign go up, I thought, well, this can't just be there. It has to mean something. So we started a summer arts camp, and hopefully it's just going to grow and grow and grow. This was our first one this summer, and I've taught two master classes there. And we help kids with training, and we help them go see shows, and we help them get their lessons, and I just love it. I'm very, very proud of it, and I hope I just keep getting it better and bigger and more known, and that's kind of what my journey is about.
Well, you mentioned Broadway. A lot of Broadway fans will know you in large part for your role as Glinda in Wicked. What was it like to live in her shoes for a good long run?
Well, you know, she had some pretty shoes, I gotta say, and they were really sparkly. I enjoyed her. You know, I think it's Dolly Parton that says about her, all of her songs she's written, I love all my kids, just some better than others. And that's the way I feel about the roles I've done. I've been so lucky to get to do really different, like completely opposite parts, from Glinda to Promises to all of Snook on Pushing Babies on TV, West Wing, Glee. It's all been different parts. I think for me, getting to play an iconic role and have her looked at from a different set of eyes and a different way was the most fascinating part of her. She was really, in the beginning and throughout most of the show, the mean one, and no one knew that. She was the wicked one. And it's the tides that turn and how you change and evolve. And you see Glinda evolve and change for the better. And that is a message that I liked. And I knew when I read the script that this show was going to be special. I didn't realize how special, but I'm really thankful. I wanted to be a part of a show that ran and that, you know, stood the test of time. And here we are 12 years later.
I wanted to ask you about a new challenge in the world of theater and musical theater. Actors, singers in the past didn't have to contend with cell phones going off in the audience, or I think in one case somebody actually trying to charge their cell phone on a stage prop. Have you ever encountered that, and did it throw you? How did you deal with that?
Oh, I encounter it all the time, and I encounter it in my concertizing too. I, for example, we had on the 20th Century this past spring on Broadway, in a very silent moment, this play takes place in the 1930s, late 30s, and obviously a phone went off, and I just said, I don't think that's the radio, and, you know, everybody laughed, but I try not to scold people too much, but I want them to know we notice. But it's getting to the point where I'm getting frustrated, because people, I think they think they're at home, and you know, there's people that putting their feet on the edge of the stage like they're leaning back, just chilling.
Oh, no.
And, you know, there's a respect for the theater, I feel, that we must keep and honor. And that kind of, you know, at the risk of sounding like a fuddy-duddy, that kind of behavior doesn't farewell for us. So I really like it when I see young people, you know, dressed, coming to the theater and, you know, respectfully listening. And because the whole point is you want people to have an experience. And they can't have an experience if they get their phones out and they're texting. It's impossible. So that's the only, you know, obviously I'm glad we have the technology we have today. I mean, I'm on the phone with you now in a car going to the airport. So, but I'm frustrated with the live theater aspect and concertizing. And, you know, there was a time when we didn't answer the phone for 2 hours because we were at a play or we were at a movie. Now people are like, where are you? Why didn't you answer your phone? Well, I was in a movie or I was at dinner. And people, you know, I get a lot of funny looks. I'm not going to use my phone this time. I'm not going to pick up my phone during dinner because we just do it now. So maybe the etiquette will switch. I hope it does.
Kristen, I grew up watching the Carol Burnett Show, and I understand, I read earlier this summer, she was with you when you got your star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and she just was in the news yesterday saying you are in a lot of ways her comedy successor, you'd be the person capable of doing her show today, in effect. How do you feel about that, having that legend say something like that about you?
There's no better feeling in the world than to have the person that you admire the most, that was a huge influence on you growing up, say that about you. She did it all. She could sing, dance, act. She was hilarious. She was beautiful. But she was never self-aware. She just had fun. She was a hard worker and a first, you know, leading a company, a true company of genius actors. And there's no ego. So I look at her and I think that's who I want to be like. And the fact that she says that, you know, a really big honor. I'm trying to think about doing that. It's interesting time. I think people would love to see something like that. I know it's costly. And, you know, all I can say is I should be so lucky to even get to do it one time. And how fun would that be, you know?
And Kristen, before we let you go, I don't want to spoil your show here in Wisconsin, but what could the audience expect?
So, like, they can expect everything. Like we discussed earlier, my voice did a lot of different things. So obviously country music was a great influence on me growing up. There'll be a little bit of that. There'll be some opera. There'll be some obviously songs people know me for, and I think songs people want to hear, and new stuff. It runs the gamut. One thing about my show, nobody can ever blame me for doing one thing over and over because it just doesn't happen. I'm really excited to get there. It'll be my first time to play there. And, you know, I like to come to new places, and this is a first for me. So thank you for your time.
Kristen, thank you, and enjoy your visit to Wisconsin.
I will.
That was Tony and Emmy Award-winning singer and actress Kristen Chenoweth. She'll be performing at the Overture Center in Madison on Sunday, October 4th.